Testing, testing, 1, 2, 1, 2. Hello there! Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Good morning! My name is Ayman Azlan, and today in my morning commute, it is 3rd of October 2022. New month, new opportunities. Welcome, October. And today I want to talk about something that has visited my timeline. Somebody asked me to respond to a tweet. I'm going to summarize the tweet and I'm going to give my response. So basically, this tweet came from a husband who felt regret that he did not ask his wife before marriage whether she likes sex or not. Yes, I know. It is that topic. Because now, in marriage, he realized that she doesn't like sex. And he basically had to, how do I put it lightly? Relieve himself by himself. So, the question now becomes, should you, in ta'aruf, during the time when you get to know each other, should you ask whether, hey, do you like sex? Should you ask that question? Well, I did create a webinar surrounding the topic of sex talk before marriage. So that webinar is available for gold members of my YouTube channel. If you're interested, go to my YouTube channel and become a gold member. You can access that webinar and a library of other webinars available for only 10 ringgit per month. Anyway, that's a short aside. But I would like to readdress the issue by just focusing on this one thing, this one issue. So this man claimed that his wife doesn't want sex, doesn't like sex, which prompted him to masturbate, basically. Because that's the other option he has, right? The third option would probably be too much for him to bear, which is, in a way, a good thing. He's not thinking of, you know, other women. I'm not condoning what he's doing, but considering, you know, the options of evils, that's a lesser of two evils, I would say. In any case, this is not a good situation to be in. And I'm afraid that people using this specific situation in their marital life, which causes people who are single to create a rule out of it. Let me repeat that. I'm afraid that people use this specific incident. It's a specific thing, right? It's a specific thing that's happened. And people create a rule out of it. You can't create a rule out of something specific. You have to create a rule out of the general, the average, the accepted, the one where we generally agree upon in principle, right? Another way to think about this is you can't take the outlier and make it into a common thing. Outlier is outlier for a reason, right? Now, there's a few basic things that we all have to understand in order for us to tackle this issue. The first basic thing is that before marriage, there are limitations that need to be properly respected. There are boundaries that you need to pay attention to. It doesn't mean, though, you can't talk about anything sensitive before marriage. No. You can. But you have to be very, very careful and you have to be very, very clear about what the boundaries are. For example, you shouldn't talk. This is just a general idea that I want to put forth and I'll give a specific example. So the general idea is that you don't talk about anything that requires a person to reveal an aib and also to reveal his or her aura. Okay. What is an aib? An aib is something which is shameful about a person, but generally kept hidden. It's shameful, but generally kept hidden. It's not something this person flaunts out. Okay, if the person flaunts out, it's something else, you know. But this is something the person hides, you know. And it's a good thing that you hide these things because you don't want it to become normalized. Okay? Not saying that we agree or accept it as a habit, but it's good that at least you contain the problem. You know, you contain the problem and not spread the problem around. For example, pornography watching is, you know, obviously a bad thing. It's a bad thing, no doubt, okay? But if you do it in private, right? If you do it in private, and you do it because, you know, it's a form of addiction for you, it's something that you can't control. It's something that you can control, but it's difficult for you. You're struggling with it. You're really, really struggling with it. And you really try your best to overcome it. But you still, from time to time, fall prey to it. But it's still contained, meaning that it's still a private matter. Nobody knows, even like the closest, among the closest of your friends or family, even they don't know. It's something that is truly between you and Allah, right? It's a private thing. That's an aib. So you don't like ask this person to reveal that thing. You know, this person tried so hard to keep it hidden, we don't want to just immediately ask this person to reveal it. Right? This is called a private sin. A private sin, keep it to yourself, but do your best to overcome it. And if you need help regarding your private sin, you reach out to people whom you trust, they're trustworthy, preferably professionals, who can keep that a top secret. Like, for example, you can reach out to a counselor, a therapist, a doctor. These people are bound by their own professional ethics to keep it a secret. It's a client-professional privacy privilege. Okay, that's the first thing about the aib thing. The second thing we need to understand is that there are certain things we consider to be basic needs that you don't really have to ask. There are basic needs. Every person has it to a certain degree, right? Different people, different needs, but every person has it. Now, sex is a basic human need, just like oxygen and food and sleep. It's a basic human need to be able to express, enjoy their sexuality, right? So to ask a person, hey, do you like sex? It's like asking a person, do you like food? It's not really necessary to do that. So if you ask me personally, because somebody wanted me to address this topic, right? If you ask me personally, then my answer would be, no, you don't ask this question in ta'aruf. Because, number one, it's inappropriate, you know. It's kind of like borderline breaking the boundaries a bit. Because you don't know each other. It's not like you are intimately close to each other. That's a question you ask only to an intimate individual. You don't ask this person in ta'aruf. You don't ask this question in ta'aruf. It's really not the place for that. So what can you ask instead? Well, you can ask about, if it's regarding sex, you can ask about things like, for example, family planning, right? Would you like children? You know, if you would like children, how many children would you like? Would you like a children immediately after marriage, or would you like to wait a bit? If we were to space out the children, how big of a space are we talking about? Is it like 2 years, 4 years? This is a basic family planning question that you can ask. It's not inappropriate. You can ask. It relates to a fundamental reason for marriage, and that is family building, right? So you want to know if we're seeing eye to eye on this family matter. And that's okay to ask. Another question that you can ask is if there's any illnesses or problems regarding sexual function that may affect your partner. For example, if you have a particular illness like STD, for example, or STI, which will definitely affect your partner because it's an infectious illness, disease. So you should tell this person, right? If you know for sure. Or you know that you probably have issue with conceiving a child. Whether you're a woman or a man, probably have issues with conceiving a child. And you know this medically. You know this because you've been to the doctor. The doctor says that you probably have lower chance of having a baby, right? So this is also something you should tell your future partner. Now, telling your future partner is not so that they can outright reject you, because to be honest, we don't know, right? But telling your future partner this particular information about your sexual function is important because you want to be sure that this person get the proper information before marriage to make a proper decision. So the key word there is proper. Only proper information, not all information. It's not like we're opening these floodgates where you can just literally ask about anything. Even ask about favorite sexual positions, or ask about, kinks and fetishes, or ask about, how frequently do you want to have sex? Things like that. We don't want to do that because we are people who have principles, and those principles necessitate that we should have boundaries, healthy boundaries. It's not like it's all hell breaks loose kind of situation. We don't want that. We don't want that. But there's still a question there. This wife doesn't like having sex, right? That's what this husband is claiming. They haven't had sex for maybe a long time, right? Or they never had sex at all after marriage, which happens too. So should you then be afraid? Ah, what if my future partner is like that? Right? And because of that fear, you think to yourself, therefore, I should ask, right? I should ask because there's this fear that there's a possibility this person may not be sexually interested at all. Right. Remember what I said about basic need? Sex is a basic need because sexual attraction is a natural biological thing that happens in a human being, right? So that necessitates that you want to have a sexual expression in the form of like intercourse, in the form of cuddling, in the form of sweet words to each other, in the form of whatever it may be that you want to express your sexual desire to. But to simply say that this particular human being just doesn't want to have sex is a premature conclusion, in my estimation. Now, I don't know the full story because it's a simple tweet, right? But seeing that this tweet causes, single people especially to start questioning, ah, should I ask that question in ta'aruf? Because now I feel afraid. That's why I'm making this reaction, because I don't want single people to be reactionary in how they respond to a particular sharing by a stranger online. Like I said, you don't create a rule out of something specific that happens in a person's life. You don't create a rule out of it. If we do that, then there's going to be an infinite amount of rules that you eventually cannot fulfill them all, or any of them for that matter. Because every time something happens in somebody else's life, you create a rule. For example, right? Let's say in a person's marriage, this particular individual cooks differently than your mother, and you really hate it, right? But you didn't know before marriage, you just know after marriage. So you create a rule. Okay, if you want to get married, you have to cook a dish for me first. And if I like it, then we'll continue. If we keep on doing this, creating a rule out of every specific situation, it's a never-ending thing. Rules cannot be infinite. It has to be specific. That's why I advocate for having minimum criteria. Advocate for following principles, not feelings. This is following feelings. I understand you may have fear because of what this person shared online. You may feel afraid because you don't want to end up like that person. That's understandable. However, your reaction should not be therefore, let's do this rule now. Everybody, before marriage, you have to ask this question. That's not a viable solution. In fact, you're solving a problem by creating another one. Okay? Just want to put it out there. So how do I help this particular specific individual? Right, now we have established that you don't create a rule out of something specific. Now let's talk specific pula. Let's talk about this particular individual. Now, this couple is basically not in an ideal state of marriage, because sexual desire in a marriage is one of the you know, uniquely only in marriage things that you can enjoy on earth. You can't enjoy sex anywhere else other than in marriage. Just take a moment to think about that. Only in the context of marriage can you express your sexual desire openly to this person, to this one person. And there's only one person who can actually be the person you share this experience with. And it's a basic need, like I said. So when this person says, my wife doesn't want to have sex with me, the conclusion is not therefore, she is not the person who likes sex. Okay? The hypothesis. That's the word. The hypothesis that I would suggest this particular man ask is, what is about the marital relationship that leads my wife to not want to be with me? That's a better question to ask than to ask, hey, what's wrong with my wife? She's the person who doesn't like sex. Alamak, menyesalnya aku. Patut cari wanita yang suka sex. I would encourage this man to further investigate, to explore, to you know, invite his wife to further explore, like, what is it about the marital relationship that doesn't, you know, lead this wife, this woman, you know, provided that she has all the natural tendencies of a woman to want to have this halal sexual relationship with his partner? Because there are many factors that may contribute to that. Because sex isn't just about, hey, I want it, so give it to me. No. You have to think of sex as this constellation of many things happening at one time, which involves, you know, the most obvious one, physical, you know, the touching, the caressing, but not just that. Sex is not just physical, it's also emotional. Have you made sure that your wife feels emotionally attracted to you and you are emotionally available to accept her, and she feels emotionally safe and accepted, she feels beautiful around you. Not only that, it's also intellectual. There's thinking involved. For example, what do you guys talk about that may cause each other to feel attracted and hot for each other? You know, the things that you say to each other, you know? It relates to emotion as well, but it takes intellectual effort to really think about, okay, how do I woo my wife, you know? Mangorat. How do I woo my wife? How do I woo my husband? You know, it takes creativity. It takes critical thinking. It takes you to really get out of your mind to enter into hers, to enter into his mind, to understand your partner on a deeper level so that you know, ah, my partner loves it when I speak like this, when I talk like this. That's an intellectual exercise as well as emotional one. And finally, there's a spiritual aspect of sex. There's a spiritual aspect of sex where both of you are doing this, yes, to fulfill that sexual desire that a human being naturally has, but also to fulfill an ibadah where both of you get rewarded for your actions. I mean, imagine that, you know. Holding your wife's hand and being rewarded. Poof! Wow! Dapat pahala, babe! Imagine that. You know? Using sweet words to woo your husband or woo your wife. Pahala. Kissing your wife on the cheek. Pahala. Hugging each other. Pahala. And yes, sexual intercourse with your lawfully wedded partner pun dapat pahala if you do it properly. Right? So there's a lot of things to consider that may answer the question, why doesn't my partner want to have sex with me? And I would broaden the question to also include the wives, okay? Maybe, I don't know, maybe your husband doesn't want to have sex with you pula, right? So it's the same question, you know, you have these four huge dimensions that create this constellation which leads to a fulfilling sexual experience. So you have to ask yourself, if your partner doesn't want to be with you, what's about the marital relationship that could potentially cause that? And it has to be, it must be, okay? It must be done on both sides because sex is a two-way thing. It's a two-way relationship. Just like much of anything in marriage, it's always two-way. You can't be like, ah, it's all your fault. Your fault sahaja, and 100% your fault. If you fix everything, everything will be fixed. I don't have to fix anything. I just wait for you to fix everything. No, that's not a healthy attitude at all for marriage or for anything for that matter, because when you talk about human relationship, it's always going to be a two-way thing. Whatever problem you have in your relationship, be it marriage or otherwise, you really have to think, there could be a possibility that I am contributing to the problem. There's always that possibility. And when you want to really be productive in solving the issue, you really have to think of how do we solve it from both our sides. And stop playing the blame game. You know, the husband shouldn't say, ah, wife aku ni, apa masalah dengan dia ni, ha? Tak nak sex? Apalah dia ni? Tak normal apa? Don't be too quick to make that judgment. It could be. I don't know. It could be. Because you haven't fulfilled her emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, and even physically. Not sexual intercourse, but physically in terms of how you touch her. You know? How you rub her back when she's tired. How you hold her hand when she's sad. How you hug her when she feels stressed from work. Provided that a woman has, you know, the natural tendency of a woman, if you fulfill those things, inshallah, naturally she wanna be with you. She feels safe. She feels accepted. She feels like this is the person that she can enjoy this experience with happily, willingly, you know? And that can happen, but it requires this, you know, constant teamwork from both sides, So I'm not of the camp that simply make conclusion, si isteri sekiranya suami perlukan anda, anda kena penuhi sahaja. I'm not that camp. Even though, yeah, people say, oh, the hadith say that. I know what the hadith says. But if you look at what the Prophet practices, you start to understand the context of the hadith. Because hadith alone is not enough for you to understand without the context. Look at how the Prophet treats his wife. Then you understand that it's not as simple as, ah, husband nak, wife bagi. The Prophet was the best to his family, was the best to his women. What does that mean? Think about that. Because you can't simply force sex upon a person. Right? Because sex should be something enjoyable for both. It should be a blissful experience for both. It should be, for lack of a better term, like syurga di atas dunia. You know? Heaven on earth. For both. So yes, that's my take on the matter. I can't dig too deep into this issue because it's a simple tweet. But I hope this tweet can maybe start a healthy conversation around sexual relationship in a halal marriage. In a halal marriage. Marriage in a halal. In a marriage. In a marriage between a husband and a woman. Between a husband and a wife, sorry. And really cause us to better understand the importance and the necessity for us to really put priority on this matter in our marriage. We shouldn't think that ala benda-benda sex ni, benda secondary je, apa cakap-cakap pasal sex ni, you tak ada iman ke. No, it's a human need. And Allah has created this space where you can enjoy that human need, and it's also an ibadah, right? So we shouldn't feel, we should reserve ourselves, lah. We shouldn't talk too openly about it, but what we shouldn't feel sinful, you know, we shouldn't feel macam, alamak, rasa berdosa lah cakap pasal benda ni. Even nak cakap perkataan sex pun rasa berdosa, you know? Where in fact, in the context of a marriage, that's an ibadah. So I hope that can spark that kind of conversation, hopefully, in your marriage between you and your partner. And on a broader scale, hopefully, when we talk about sex in religious classes, in certain courses, marital courses, or otherwise, hopefully, we treat it with the respect it deserves. And we treat it with, you know, sensitivity, balance, and also courtesy for the people learning. And try to avoid making silly jokes about it, because it undermines the value of that experience in our daily life. It's not a joke. It's not a laughing matter. And I understand sometimes we do laugh about it because we feel uncomfortable about it. So therefore, humor can be a way for us to manage that uncomfortable feeling. However, also understand if you make it the butt of the joke, you're not really putting value upon it that it deserves. And that's also not a good thing. So even though you're uncomfortable with it, try to hold back your tendency to joke about it and just be professional. Just be a professional, you know? think about if you are in a professional setting, whether how uncomfortable you are, you maintain your professionalism. You talk about it with decency, with respect, with sensitivity and balance, so that we can properly address the issue and give it the justice it deserves. That's it. That's all I'm asking. So I thank you for the person who brought this issue up to me yesterday. I thank you because you have inspired me to talk about it today. And hopefully that helps. And if you're wondering, October, I have two online events planned. One is a webinar, the other one is an online class. I have a modification for my online class, which I will announce later on. And also, for those of you who are interested in inviting me to give talks to your college, university, or organization, schools maybe, you can get in touch with me at aymanazlan.com. There's a contact button there. You can get in touch with me over there. Right now, I am in KL for 6 months until March of next year. I am undergoing training here. So while I'm here, hopefully I can do as much collaborations as I can, because I know KL area has a lot of opportunities for that. So I want to make the most of my time here. So hopefully I can do that. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you. Let me know what you think. Comments, email, DM, and I'll see you guys next time. Oh, actually, I will talk to you guys next time, and you will hear me, hopefully. Assalamualaikum, guys. Bye. Bye.